Rock 102, Springfield's Classic Rock. It's 5:35 and The Who on Rock 102.
Okay, so the rain is done for a little while, and now we're going to have us two beautiful days. Sunshine today, a high of 70. Sunshine tomorrow going up to 74, and it is 41 right now in downtown Springfield.
G. Michael Dobson, the reminder, will be joining us after 8 o'clock today. There's all kinds of stuff to talk to Dobbs about, so that's coming up in just a few hours.
And besides that, oh, you would not believe.
I already don't believe it.
They almost tried to kidnap the governor of Michigan and even thought about killing the one in Virginia. And then Charlie Baker's house gets broken into over the weekend. Who's watching these people?
It's a tough time to be a governor.
Yes, it is. It's a very tough time to be a governor.
It's 5:36 on Rock 102.
Get your Rock 102 fill anywhere at any time. Just go to Rock 102.
Rock 102, Springfield's Classic Rock. It's 5:49 and The Police on Rock 102.
Man, do we got some beauties today and tomorrow. Sunshine, today up to 70, tomorrow up to 74. But a long way to go to get there. It's 41 right now in downtown Springfield.
Hey, what do you say we hop right into some Hollywood trash with Steve Naylor?
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. Remember her?
I do.
Sure. Love that song.
She released a new song called Don't Cancel Halloween. Here's a sample. Oh. Here's a sample lyric if you want.
Okay.
I was thinking of the song from the Oak Ridge Boys. I didn't realize which Elvira you meant.
Yeah, no, this is Mistress of the Dark Elvira. This is not Elvira... Country girl, whatever they're talking
about. Boom, bapa,
yeah. Don't you want to look around and see a bunch of slutty girls dressed like cats crawling on the ground because of how much they drank? Yeah, I do.
She's got it right there.
Yeah.
She waiting for an answer?
Well, she released the song. I think she's waiting for somebody to shell out 99 cents for the download.
It's probably a rhetorical question if you put it in the guise of lyrics. She's not actually asking for you. She's like, you write out a note or, you know, inbox her.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
To send something into her inbox.
Right. That's what I thought you said.
Can't believe you're talking like that this early in the morning. It's ridiculous.
It's an innocent little statement, that's all.
Justin Bieber's Crocs went on sale yesterday online, and it was a mess. People were getting kicked out of the virtual line, others were using bots to bypass the one-person customer limit, and the shoes sold out in an hour and a half. So why is it? That's not really a mess for him if all of the shoes sold.
No, it's a mess for people trying to buy them.
Yeah.
It's great for him. By the way, how much was the price
$6,000.
For a pair of Crocs? That's
no,
not bad.
I have no idea how much they were going for.
Yeah.
The shoes themselves seem a little overpriced.
Crocs or just shoes in general?
Shoes in general.
Hmm. I don't get the attraction to Crocs.
Well, it's just a matter of you slip them on, you slip them off. It's like shoes without real commitment.
But it's an open back, right?
Open back and like mesh toe. Not mesh, but hold toe.
Well, I mean, there is like a rubber strap that can either go on the front of the foot or behind the foot.
Man.
So, I mean, it's movable.
But it's still like a pair of sandals where it can pick up crap that you're walking on and then it gets stuck between your foot and the sole. That's why I don't wear sandals.
Hey, John, get a load of this guy with the Crocs.
Yeah, no, he knows all about them.
He knows all about those Crocs.
Well, I mean, my kids have worn Crocs.
Don't even bring your children into this. What kind of horrible person are you?
Steve, he's a Croc tease.
Will you stop it?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing wrong with a grown man in his 50s looking at a pair of Crocs and trying to comparison shop.
Let me ask more about the Crocs. When you try to clean them, do you like tongue clean the Crocs?
Steve, I have never cleaned
all over the Croc.
I don't dirty my Crocs. I don't have Crocs. I don't dirty them.
Do you rub your Crocs on the ground?
If I had them,
If
I had Justin Bieber's Crocs, I'd rub them all myself.
You got that right.
I want to get my money's worth.
You're a huge Croc lover. You know
you're damn right.
Yeah. Gal Gadot says she was only trying to send light and love to the world with the Celebrity Imagine video she organized at the beginning of the pandemic.
Man, there are so many other ways of doing that.
But she adds,
if I was her, I would just never bring it up again.
But she adds that it didn't transcend. I know, we've gone through so much since that video came out. Everybody almost forgot about it until she brought it up again.
Actually, did she bring it up again, or was she answering someone's question? Because my guess is there's got to be somebody out there looking for something to ask Gal Gadot, and that's the one.
It was
what were you thinking with that Imagine remake?
TMZ.
Yes.
She should have just said, I don't know what you're talking about.
What
I don't
video?
Remember any Imagine video.
What thing that took us forever to put together?
Right. I have no memory of it whatsoever, and I really wish everyone else would forget it too.
Gal Gadot, I don't know who you're talking about. I'm the girl from the bus.
Mike Tyson looked completely out of it during an interview on Good Morning Britain, but he blamed it on the time difference between the U.S. and the U.K., saying he tried to stay awake for the interview, but he fell asleep, and once he woke up, he was groggy. So he wasn't drunk or high or, you know, taking pills or anything like that.
Dude's in training. No, he's not doing any of that stuff.
Well, I was just reading about this interview. It sounds, they said they had a lot of people that were concerned about his mental health and his well-being, and he says, you know, he was laying down waiting for it to start. He had no monitor. He didn't know that the camera was on. It sounds like a lot of hoop-de-hoo.
Over nothing.
No, probably over something that got lied about or covered up.
Mike Tyson's never lied about a thing in his life.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Actress Conchata Ferrell, do you know who she is?
Do not.
Actually, I do.
She was the housekeeper from Two and a Half Men. She passed away on Monday. She was 77.
She suffered
a heart attack earlier this year and never recovered.
She's one of them character actresses that if you saw her, you say, oh, yeah, she's been in a million things.
I do remember her now. Yeah.
That's the redheaded lady, right? She have red hair?
I think in some pictures she's got red hair, but I've seen her in darker hair.
Or am I mixing up my housekeepers on sitcoms? That was Mrs.
You're thinking of Hazel.
Or Mrs. Garrett, for all that.
Yeah, she had red hair, too. Yeah.
Someone used Google Trends data to find the horror movie that each state searched for more than any other state. Guillermo del Toro's The Devil's Backbone showed up 4 times more than any other film. It's the choice of D.C., Massachusetts, New Jersey, and Texas.
I don't really know that film.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I don't think I've ever heard of it.
Oh. They put out all these horror movies sometimes. I'm so, like,
we're out of the
far
loop.
Removed from all of that.
We're out of the loop.
I wasn't even in the loop when I was near the loop.
Oh, you were in the loop.
No, I wasn't. Not for horror movies.
You just tripped on it on the way out.
Didn't even see it.
Garth Brooks. Didn't I just say we don't do enough story about it?
They were all saying
that was Monday.
Recently talked about the time he signed autographs for 23 straight hours. His record company thought his career was done, so to prove them wrong, he showed up unannounced at an autograph fair. The line was endless, so he kept signing because I, quote, owed it to the people who stayed with me.
And yet now his career is done.
I think he's living off that Friends in Low Places money.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Kardashian is ready to,
what?
This line
here.
Huh?
What?
She was working on her wood all weekend. She had a nice wood table. She loves the wood.
She
has this big, giant wood table.
She must have something to say.
Oh, my God. The last time I had this much wood was when Ray J gave me Ray J. Put Peter out to graze in the parsley patch in that sex tape you can purchase on your porn for $39.95.
That's a lot of wood.
Mm-hmm. And Caitlin?
I never got that down and dirty with your mother, Chris Kim, but I once took a ride on the Wombaloo slip and slide.
Okay.
Did a little chimney sweeping with the wood-burning bear claw.
Of course you did. What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is I gave her a uter bang from a fisterectomy.
All right.
Oh my God.
Did you ever have a fisterectomy?
No. Never heard it. Never wanted it.
Kanye?
I can drive you to the uter bang and fisterectomy store.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I'm doing that?
No idea.
Riding around in my Raptor off my ranch on Wyoming. Come on. Jump on the Uter Bay and fisterectomy bus.
Okay.
I'll Uber instead.
It's free.
I'm sure it is.
I'd almost rather pay.
Oh, the Kanye train. Toot, toot to
Kanye?
The bang and fist erectomy chain.
Kanye.
Such an injustice. And that's Hollywood T-Rash and Rock 102. Wow.
Day two of retirement. And Dad's already had to make a visit to urgent care.
Who slams their finger with a gas cap?
Who does that?
I have no idea.
Now he has an eye infection.
Only him.
Fun in the sun turned into a fun video chat with the doctor.
Don't worry. They have Health New England.
They're covered. Health New England's flexible Medicare Advantage plans have you covered. Visit healthnewengland.org/everystep or call 877-431-2115.
Allied Flooring Paint and Design is one of the area's largest and longest-standing flooring companies, and we're seeking some hard-working help. Allied is now hiring qualified subcontractors for all types of flooring installations throughout Western Massachusetts and beyond. If you're looking to work with a solid company with plenty of work to offer, Allied is looking for you. Stop by our Agawam location or learn more at alliedflooringandpaint.com/careers.
WAQY, WAQ tomorrow. And now, Bax's View from the Couch, brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware, Outdoor Power Headquarters, Steel, Ego, and Craftsman, Rocky's Outdoor Power Trifecta.
Hey, good morning, sports fans. How the heck are you? As you know, there is nothing that feels better than looting storefronts and rioting after winning a championship. Give me a Stanley Cup or a Lombardi Trophy, and you can rest assured I'm setting something on fire. Unfortunately, in these difficult times of quarantines and sheltering in place, one must wonder how a global pandemic affects our ability to vandalize public property in the name of championship glory. Is it even possible to overturn emergency vehicles in a socially distant environment? Because if just one person gets sick, you have to wonder, is it really still worth it? And the answer, of course, is no, not really. In the case of the Los Angeles Lakers, it didn't exactly stop everybody from causing a real hubbub. On Sunday, following the Lakers winning the NBA Finals over the Miami Heat, police arrested 76 people who did things like throw bottles, rocks, and other projectiles. In other words, just another Sunday night in Los Angeles. And the truth is, throwing objects is, by its very definition, a form of socially distant protest. The bottom line is, it was nothing like the last several Laker championships. This one, by comparison, was, dare I say, sublime and understated. The question now is, what to do about any public celebration? Will there be a rolling rally of duck boats? Will there be a ticker tape parade? Will fans be allowed to attend? Will there be enough hand sanitizer for everybody? As of right now, the Lakers have announced that they will hold off on a public celebration for the time being, thereby delaying what would have been quite a big to-do. Instead, they will wait until it is safe to do so because, quite frankly, there's no way to celebrate a championship and keep 6 feet of distance between yourself and every other drunken idiot celebrating around you. So while I hate the idea of delaying the fun, it's pretty clear that the city of Los Angeles really has no other choice, making this the worst Lakers championship ever. And as a Celtics fan who is consumed with disappointment and envy, I'm really quite okay with this. But hey, enough of my yapping. Sports brought to you by Rocky's Ace Hardware. There are two essential power tools, a circular saw and a cordless drill. If you own a home, you need the cordless drill and the circular saw. Go to Rocky's Power Tool Headquarters for Milwaukee, DeWalt, and Craftsman Tools. Rocky's Power Tool Trifecta at Rocky's Ace Hardware. I'm back. That's my view from the couch.
It's 6:09. We're back to O'Brien to Rock 102.
Couple of real beauties on tap today and tomorrow. Today's sunny and going up to 70. Tomorrow, even better than that, sunshine and 74. Right now, though, in downtown Springfield, it is 41 degrees. I saw something online this morning that at first I thought was in Boston, and then I realized, no, it's in Vegas. But I got to tell you, not only do I think it's going to happen in Boston, I think it's going to happen in Springfield. Encore, Wynn Encore casino in Las Vegas is changing its hours because of the coronavirus, because of the lack of people that are showing up to gamble.
So it's a 24-hour operation in Vegas, right?
24/7, right. Yeah. Same as in Boston until now. They are going to be, and we're not talking about closing every night at midnight. We're talking about being closed from noon Monday until 2 p.m. on Thursday. So almost all day Monday, all day Tuesday and Wednesday, and half the day on Thursday, this place will be closed.
So that,
that includes the hotel.
So that makes it primarily a weekend operation.
Yeah.
That is weird.
It's not only weird, it's seemingly sustainable.
Well, I mean, obviously, this would be a temporary situation.
I don't know.
That as soon as, you know, people feel more comfortable traveling to a Las Vegas, you know, they'll show up and they'll reopen maybe 24 hours. You know, maybe not fully 24 hours, but maybe they shut down at like, you know, midnight or 2 a.m. or whatever it is.
Yeah, but before that, how many other casinos will do the same thing?
Well, I guess they have, and I'm sure they have figured out the mathematics of all this, but
mm-hmm.
I'm sure they figured out a way, you know, what's the loss and what's the operating expenses and where do we rectify the two? And
yeah.
Thursday through, what do you say, Monday?
Monday through Thursday, they're going to be closed.
Wow.
They'll be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and half a Monday.
So if you're going to go, you really got to pack in all your gambling in a very short period of time.
Not that short, but still, the idea that it's closed for that much time, and then, you know, obviously, if it does mean it's closed that much, it means when it's open, presumably, it will be more crowded. So, you know, that could turn a lot of people off as well. But what about the shows? What about these residency shows?
Right now, they're not even doing those because
that's true.
You can't sustain the expense of the show if you're distancing people 6 feet apart.
Right.
So everything is on hold. This is why like Las Vegas is getting railed because that city was almost entirely built on the service industry,
mm-hmm.
and casinos aside. Everything else that place has been known for, shows and restaurants and everything else, they've all suffered. The casinos drive most of the economy in Las Vegas. But to limit it may be the only thing they can do to save themselves. I mean, I realize that it's a major loss, but if the goal would be to stay open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with very little business, you know, those hours between, say, you know, I don't know, midnight and 6 a.m., there's nobody there.
I was actually kind of surprised even from the very beginning that MGM in Springfield was a 24/7 operation. And, you know, the other thing too, though, is all you really need overnight probably is security. With all of the artificial intelligence that they have and all of the games that have been turned into machines and you almost don't even need people in there to run those games, say from 1 a.m. to 7 a.m. You could probably have a minimal amount of staff on and just, like I said, have security in there so people aren't disrupting things. But between the money-making machines, you know, the change-making machines, the machines you cash in your winnings into, all of that stuff could be automated. And most of it already is. It's just a simple matter of keeping bartenders there and waitresses there, and that could all be set up.
But you're also talking about, you know, power and heat or air conditioning and all the things that they would normally pay for just to keep the building open all day. You know, I'm sure there's lots of operating costs that, you know, aren't necessarily about the gambling, but yeah, and they have to decide, you know, well, what in those casinos will be open between that Thursday through Monday? Is it everything? Is it all the restaurants? Do the buffets reopen? I don't know if the answer is yes on any of that stuff.
I don't know if the buffets will ever be back.
Shame, because that would be like the only reason to go to the Rio.
Well, for some people, that would be the only reason to go to Las Vegas. I'm trying to find this story because I saw a story last night on 22 News that included all the prices along with this, and I can't see it now. The Big E obviously is trying to make money. They've lost the Big E. I mean, the Eastern States Exposition Grounds is trying to make money. They've lost the Big E. They're having, this is the last week for you to do the drive-through food thing. So now what they're offering is storage. Maybe it's on 22's website with the prices. You can put your car, your boat, your motorcycle, your trailer into storage over at the Big E from November until, I think it was March. And yeah, here's the story. I wonder if it's got the prices, because it's a little weird.
Right.
No, it doesn't have the prices. You'd think that would be there. Your boat, your trailer, your car, your motorcycle, all this stuff will be able to be stored at the Big E in one of the barns, although they did say last night, they said they do have indoor and outdoor storage. But one of the things that I noticed, you know, like I obviously put my motorcycle away for the winter and take it up off the floor so you don't get flat spots in the tires. You put some kind of chemical into the gas tank to make sure the gas stays usable by the time the next season rolls around. But one of the ones I did write down, one of the prices, $225 to store a motorcycle. That's for the whole season. $250 to store a boat or a trailer. There's a $25 difference between a motorcycle and a boat or a trailer? What the hell is that all about?
I would think it'd be a hell of a lot more than that.
Yeah, you certainly would. Or that there would be either a lot cheaper to put a motorcycle in there or a lot more expensive to put a boat or a trailer in there. But, I mean, come on.
Well,
motorcycle? How much space is that going to take up? Even a three-wheeled motorcycle is not going to take up that much space.
Not having a boat, it's hard for me to totally understand or grasp all the many expenses of owning it. But, you know, that would be one of the things that would maybe prevent me from buying one in the first place. Is that, you know, off-season, it's got to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And I don't really have the space in my house to take care of it. So,
and the most expensive thing to do is to dock it.
Yeah.
If you're leaving it on the water, I think did we talk about this the other day? I was talking to a friend of mine about the whole shrink wrapping thing. You see those boats like down at the Oxbow Marina with all that shrink wrap on them?
Yep.
That's like, that starts at like $500 just to have that shrink wrap put on. That's crazy.
Well,
it's not that a boat isn't already ridiculously expensive,
but
even the cost to not use it.
It's crazy, except the cost of repairing the boat, if you don't do it, it's going to be a hell of a lot more than $500.
By the way, 22 News I'm watching earlier this morning, there was a story, I don't even know where it happened. A man on a golf course was, according to Taylor Knight, was gorged by an elk.
Gorged?
Yeah, gorged. The elk, apparently the male elk with the horns, was on the course, and the man must have seen it, and at some point, you know, got a little bit cautious, but then the elk charged him and gorged him.
Isn't the proper term gored him?
Not only is the proper term gored, but that's what was written on the screen. Man gored by elk on golf course, yet pronounced gorged.
Hey, you know
what? Also ripped his kidney into three pieces.
Ooh, Jesus. That's
going to make it a little hard to play through.
No, actually, I think at that point you stop.
I don't know. Depends what hole you're on.
Or you take the penalty. What do you, I mean, really?
The mulligan.
Well, I know me. I usually use my mulligans early. So I'd probably be out of mulligans by that point. But
well, this might have been early for him.
It's got to be at least a two-stroke penalty to just, like, walk away from the ball, right?
You'd think so.
At least.
And imagine if this was if he was playing in a tournament sponsored by the Elks.
Whew. That would be ironic.
Weird. It just blew my mind.
I think you blew everybody's mind.
And then, finally, again, we talked about this earlier this morning, you know, a bunch of knuckleheads get arrested for putting together some kind of a, while dopey, a well-thought-out plan to kidnap the governor of Michigan and try her, put her on trial, probably to execute her. And then you find out they were kind of thinking about doing the same thing with the governor of Virginia, And that that got thwarted as well. I believe it was the same group was going after the Michigan governor that wanted to go after the Virginia governor. And then you hear this story now that Charlie Baker's house was broken into over this past weekend.
Yeah, but they haven't claimed that it's the same group.
No, they haven't claimed that there was any kind of a plot at all. But my point is security of governors, I would think, is 24/7. Again, the Michigan governor, they were looking about going after her at her summer home during the summer. So, you know, she lives on a lake. I believe Charlie Baker lives on the shoreline as well. And the back of his house, I believe, in Swampscott, backs up to the ocean. So, you know, when you've got, and it was like in Kennebunkport,
right,
when the Bush family was there, you not only have to protect the land, you've got to also protect the water.
Was this at Charlie Baker's house like an amphibious attack?
No,
like
I don't think so.
Like the guy came out of the water and then you know, went through like the back door, which by the way, he went through an unlocked door. If I'm a governor of any state, all my doors are going to be locked.
Well, but that's just it. You don't seemingly have to. I would think they have state police on the premises even when the governor's not home. Obviously, the governor's going to have protection wherever he is, but I would think that his home would remain protected even when he's not there.
No, I get that, and that's all very well and good, but just, you know, I mean, every door in my house is locked.
Well, you're not
all
important.
The time. What are you talking about?
You're not very important.
I'm a very big deal in the town of Hamden. I walk from...
doesn't take much.
I walk from place to place in town, and it's always like, wow, it's Baxi's here. And that's... Uh-huh. And I, you know, and I regale on that kind of notice. And so, yeah,
you
that's...
don't even have the Hamden police watching your house. Never mind, you know, highly trained security personnel.
Listen,
like the state police.
I don't break the law. Much.
Yeah, this is about the law being broken against you. I don't get it. You know, and they keep showing this on 22 News. They show, and you see this Mass State Police cruiser parked in front of the governor's house. Now, back in the summer, when they were protesting the governor at his house, and you saw some of these aerial shots, he lives on a normal, what appeared to be a normal cul-de-sac. He's at the bottom of this cul-de-sac. It's not like... You know, it's not like Kennebunkport, where the house is down a half-mile-long driveway, and there's not another house within a 300 or 400 or 500-yard radius.
Right.
I mean, Charlie basically, you know, he's got neighbors on either side, and then he's got the ocean behind him. But if you've got state police protecting you round the clock, and again, I want to believe... It's not just one state cop sitting in his cruiser out on the street in front of the house.
No, see, but you want to believe that, but my guess is that's exactly what it is.
Because
you know, the state cops have been tagged for their overtime issues over the past, it ain't much more than the one cruiser.
Well, even if that was it, I'd also like to think every inch of that property is monitored by a camera. And maybe that cop who's sitting in his cruiser has a monitor that shows the feed of every one of those cameras so that he can see every inch of the property in a matter of seconds. But you got some big balls to break into the governor's house, unless the guy didn't know it. Imagine they catch the guy,
you know,
and he's like, well, I didn't know whose house this was.
I suppose it's possible, but I think he knew.
Yeah, it's unlikely.
I mean, doesn't the welcome mat say welcome, governor?
I think it says Baker's.
It's 6:24 with Bax and O'Brien to Rock 102.
Looking to enliven your living space?
6:27 with Bax and O'Brien to Rock 102.
Man, I'm looking forward to today and tomorrow. 70 today, 74 tomorrow. Last few days to be able to ride the bike for people like me. I mean, I'm not, it's like the people who golf in the rain. I'm not one of them.
No.
I don't care enough for the game. I'm not good enough to play in the rain. And for riding the bike, I'm not one of these people who likes to bundle up and go out in the 50-degree weather when it's, you know, when you're moving 30 miles an hour in 50-degree weather, it feels a whole lot colder.
I don't know. I mean, if I may offer some affirmations, you're good enough, you putt enough, and doggone it,
people like me? I was going to go that far. I was going to say people accept you.
Know me.
Yeah, they accept you.
People know how to spell my name.
Right.
Let's laugh.
Tell me what's funny.
It's Bax and O'Brien's joke of the day.
Well, it's nice to find a fellow with a keen sense of humor.
On Rock 102.
Joke of the day brought to you by Gary Rome Hyundai. Get 3 years complimentary maintenance at Gary Rome Hyundai, Whiting Farms Road in Holyoke, and that's no joke.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Springfield's classic rock.
So the sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Parks, the sixth grade science teacher, asked her class one morning, she says, which human body part increases 10 times its size when it's stimulated? And no one in the room answers until little Mary stands up and she says, you should not be asking sixth graders a question like that, ma'am. I'm going to tell my parents and they're going to go and tell the principal and he's going to fire you.
Okay.
Smarmy little kid.
All right.
And Mrs. Parks ignores her and asks the question again. All right, well, which body part increases 10 times its size when it's stimulated? And little Mary's mouth falls wide open, and she says to the other kids around her, boy, she is going to get in big trouble. And the teacher continues to ignore her and turns to the rest of the class and says, anybody? Anyone? Bueller? And finally, Billy stands up, and he looks around nervously, and he says, the body part that increases 10 times its size when it's stimulated is the pupil of the eye. And Mrs. Parks goes, well, that's very good, Billy. And then she turns to Mary, little smart mouth Mary, and she goes, and as for you, young lady, I have three things to say. One, you got a dirty mind. Two, you obviously didn't read your homework. And three, one day you're going to be very, very disappointed.
Yeah, it's obviously
genitalia.
Oh, it is,
but
really,
that's not really the answer.
I didn't realize that was the punchline.
Oh,
6:32 with Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102. It's time for news brought to you by Frigo's delicious family meals available for takeout, Springfield and in East Long Meadow. Here's local radio icon and first responder Steve Nagel.
Benvenidos, Quarantinos.
Muchos gracias, Premier Respondedor.
Si, senor.
Springfield police were investigating a serious two-car crash in downtown Springfield late Tuesday night. The department has not released any information about the crash, but a 22 News crew in the area reported several police officers and fire officials on Main Street at 11:45 p.m.
Ooh, look!
But did you see it?
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
Jesus, these
things are torn apart.
Yeah, well, the one car especially that was on the sidewalk. So it's the corner of Main and Harrison. And it would be on the northwest corner, which would be where that used to be the SIS building. And it's got the very deeply recessed sidewalk before the building comes. It's not, you know, the building is not as close to the sidewalk as many of the others are. So it looks like the car had its tires ripped off probably when it hit the 8 or 10 inch high curb, and it was at least a two vehicle accident from what I could see. But man, that one car up on the sidewalk just ripped apart.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty.
Yeah, I would say it was probably pretty high rate of speed.
The camera crew also saw two vehicles involved, one heavily damaged.
Yeah, that's
we
yeah,
saw.
Just describe.
No, I'm talking about you. Yeah, that's your account.
Yeah, but what
I'm talking about
what the 22 News.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is what they showed us. They're
yeah,
the ones
but
who showed us this.
You're only seeing part of it.
Yeah.
They have the ability to tell you everything they saw.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
I don't
some.
Know about that.
They need a reverse camera lens.
So like
you can actually
people.
Yeah. So you can actually see the reporter looking at the things they saw.
Fisheye yeah.
sees all.
Sure. By the way, Steve, I don't know if you saw the breaking news about the bishop.
Oh, yeah, I got that right here.
Okay.
A Washington, D.C. priest who has gained attention well beyond his archdiocese for his writings and YouTube videos has been chosen by Pope Francis to serve as the new bishop of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Springfield, Reverend William D. Byrne.
Well, that's a good John Houseman name.
Great John.
Reverend Byrne.
Has been selected to serve as the 10th bishop of the Diocese of Springfield, which serves Catholics in Hamden, Hampshire, Franklin, and Berkshire counties. Welcome.
I wouldn't have thought that was something, you know, that the Pope would actually decide. I mean, The Bishop of New York, yeah, I could see that coming from the Pope. The Bishop of any of our large top 10 cities in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bishop of the Diocese of Springfield, Massachusetts, you'd think that would just be picked by an altar boy somewhere in the Vatican.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like the Governor's Council picking judges.
Yeah.
I mean, it goes through the Pope's office, but it's probably not the Pope who's, you know, picking and choosing. He basically probably just rubber stamps the decision of a tribunal or something.
And there are only 34 bishops in the United States.
What?
There are only 34 bishops throughout the United States.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
They go by areas. So, you know, obviously here in Western Mass, you got Hamden, Hampshire, Franklin, and Berkshire counties. That covers a lot of ground there. Then you got the Boston one that covers all the way up to Worcester and, you know, wherever the county line is of.
So how many bishops are there in Massachusetts?
Two.
That's it for the whole state?
Yeah.
I had no idea it was like that.
Well, see, the more you know. You didn't study this in Bible school, did you?
Well, I don't even need Bible school. I've got Wikipedia here.
CCD.
That says the U.S. Catholic Church comprises 176 dioceses and 18 Catholic eparchies.
Oh, I loved All in the Family.
I like eparchies. Goes well with a Ritz.
But like you said, the dioceses are divided into 32 ecclesiastical provinces. Huh.
Well, first of all, are you talking about the number of bishops or archbishops? Because there's a hierarchy. There's a structure.
Oh, yeah, there's a hierarchy. There are five cardinals in the whole U.S.
One See, I thought Boston, the one that no, there's the one that plays in Arizona
and St. Louis.
St. Louis, and then I believe is it the Stanford cardinal?
God, you talk about the hierarchy. Four archdioceses have retired archbishops who serve as cardinal archbishop of the diocese. This sounds like a very top-heavy organization.
They are a little top-heavy. I would like to know what it takes to become a bishop. Is it something you apply for? Are you nominated?
It's a athletic competition, and I believe that once someone beats the bishop, that one is out.
I don't know if that's exactly how they do it, but I've always wondered. Does anyone go into the priesthood? So, you know, I really would like to be the Pope or a cardinal. Cardinal would be a good gig, but how do you apply?
Pope. That's like every kid who picks up a golf club saying they want to be Tiger Woods someday.
No, I know. I mean, there's only so many dudes that can become the Pope, but a lot more dudes can become a cardinal.
Yeah, but before that, you got to be a bishop.
You do,
right?
Yep, or an archbishop, and then a bishop, maybe a monsignor, and then a priest, and then a brother,
and
a deacon.
Aren't the bishops and the archbishops always fighting?
No, I don't. I don't.
Like,
believe
the difference between a hero and an archenemy.
No, it's not the same.
No, it's not. It's not exactly like Marvel Comics.
But they do walk around very pompous when to the bishops below them. Yeah, I'm the archbishop. What you got?
What you gonna do, yo?
I had no idea there were so few of them.
I like how it took you that long to get to the beat the bishop line.
It gets funny every time.
Yeah, but like, you know, it's
working
like,
towards it.
It's like getting directions to Holyoke. You know, you'd start in Longmeadow. Most people would just take 91 to 391 and go right to downtown. You took a tour.
Roads.
Yeah, you took a tour all over, and then you finally got to it though.
I'm the alternate route on Waze. I'm not necessarily going to get you there faster, but I'll get you there.
That Waze thing was super helpful to me a couple of years ago when I was driving through North Carolina from, I think it was Charlotte to Hilton Head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm driving down, I don't know what the highway was, but the Waze goes, hey, you know what? There's a two-hour backup ahead.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take this exit, we will get you there like 45 minutes sooner.
Yeah. Oh, that's what Waze does.
But it was all these back country roads.
Yeah.
And it was, down south, it's like everything's pretty open. So it's not like you're going up and down mountains and curves and hills and all that stuff. But it was these very long, you had to slow down every time you go into a little village. to get there. But it was like, I'd actually rather take this route because I saw more than I did on the highway.
It's a scenic area. It's more relaxed. Yeah. No, I love Waze. I use it all the time when I take long. I use it all the time even when I'm taking short trips because it also tells you where the cops are. And you got to cheese it for the fuzz.
Didn't I just say to you guys yesterday we didn't do enough stories about Buckland?
The
mall?
I was going to say, has there ever been a story about Buckland?
I don't know. Some residents in Buckland will be without water after a water main broke in the area of South Street late Tuesday.
That's the only night.
The Buckland police said the water department is aware of the water main break on South Street and Gardner Falls Road and has shut off water. Repairs will begin this morning.
Is this in Massachusetts?
Yes.
I don't even know where this town is.
It's like out in my area.
Is that where the mall is?
No, that's you're going down south to Manchester, Connecticut. Connecticut, by the way.
Mm. Buckland appears to have a population
of
1,902 people. So that's
they have their own bishop.
That's almost 2,000 people without water.
Bishop.
Buck Bishop.
So yeah, if you're in Buckland this morning, you're out of luck, man.
Yeah, this isn't your worst problem either.
Two Hampden County jail inmates have tested positive for COVID-19 and are in medical quarantine. Spokesperson for the jail, Robert Rizzuto, said that one person had tested positive last week and one more inmate tested positive since then. They will both remain in quarantine until they test negative and are cleared by the jail's medical team's recommendations. Rizzuto said no other inmates have tested positive at this time. Back in June, there were 13 inmates who had tested positive for COVID. Staff at the jail are taking precautionary measures to make sure the virus doesn't spread to others, whether it be staff or inmates. It is not known at this time how two current inmates contracted the virus.
Well, someone must have tried the risotto.
The Robert Rizzuto?
Yeah.
Try
the risotto. I'm begging you. Please.
I feel full after the risotto.
Yeah, right.
No. Aren't you talking about the guy that used to play with the New York Yankees?
It's Phil Rizzuto. You're thinking of, I don't know.
We couldn't go anywhere with that one?
No, it's a tough one.
It's not, like I said, it's not known how they got the virus. Well, it could be from anybody. If they were just brought in over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the detail they don't ask. It's not known.
Did it say they were brought in over the weekend?
No, but it just says, but that would be the question you would ask Mr. Rizzuto. It's Rizzuto. That would be the question you would ask. Were these inmates already there, or were they brought in over the weekend? And for that long, you know, Columbus Day weekend where you'd have to wait till Tuesday to get arraigned on something.
Steve, if I may go back, I'm being told that your number of bishops is actually wrong. Apparently, there are 390 bishops, 59 archbishops, and 495 currently active and retired Catholic bishops in the United States.
I did Google. I said, how many bishops in the U.S.? And the first thing that pops up, 34 active Roman Catholic bishops.
Are you sure there weren't 34 results?
No, it's the number pops up 34. Yeah. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Listen, I'm not.
It seemed hard to believe.
Yeah, no, there are 271 active bishops, 4 cardinal archbishops, 27 archbishops, 153 diocesan bishops, 75 auxiliary bishops, and 12 apostolic or diocesan administrators.
Does this person know if we know that Jesus was really white or not?
I don't know what the new bishop, what is it, Bishop Byrne?
No, I was watching this documentary about that and how, like, basically it was a white person's history of what all this looks like. So Jesus always looks like a white guy. But in reality, Jesus was from the Middle East.
Yeah, he would not actually be a white guy.
He would probably have an olive complexion at least or, not a white pigment skin, you know what I mean?
Well, it's like, what's her name, telling us that Santa Claus was white.
Who's what's her name?
Megyn Kelly.
Right.
Megyn Kelly a couple of years ago, insisting that Santa Claus was white.
How does she know?
She had some kind of
The artistic interpretation of a lot of
different figures throughout history. It leaves a little bit to be desired. I mean, I was a kid. I had like the children's Bible that we had to use like during like catechism classes. And Jesus was a blonde-haired dude with blue eyes. Now, I think you would find that it is very difficult to find a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Messiah roaming around the middle of the desert in the Middle East.
Surfer Jesus.
Sand surfer
Jesus.
In a very real way, he did look a lot like Jeff Spicoli.
my understanding is, you know, you talk about how many bishops there are. There's 10 times many more nuns. From my understanding, not a single one can fly.
Really?
That's my understanding of history.
Okay, but there was only one in the course of history that could fly. I don't think they have a regular nun flight school. It was just that one, and that was Sally Field, and that was it.
Yeah, I don't even think that's true. I think that might have been made up.
So, you know, they're all sitting around at a retreat. Judas is teaching the class. And then Jesus walks in, and then all of a sudden there's a bread delivery at the door. And then he's like, I'm doing the Spicoli thing.
I see, yes.
Right.
And he gets the bread, and he's like, oh, yeah, that'll be me, man. And then Judas is like, well, do you have enough to share for everyone? So then he had to break the bread, and he spread it to everybody else. Didn't you hear? Didn't you read that in the Bible?
No. but I also am trying to imagine the meeting, the pitch meeting, in which somebody says, listen, we've run out of all these other great show ideas. How about this? We get a nun, and she flies.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And someone says, you know what? That is almost as good as that idea, those seven castaways on a desert island.
Yeah, no. See, I think more along the lines of somebody going, all right, fine. If that's the best we can come up with this season, a flying nun. Go ahead.
Made a star out of her. Big star.
Well, she was already kind of a star with Gidget.
The man that allegedly burned a display of hay bales with Biden-Harris 2020 painted on them was arraigned on Tuesday. The suspect, 49-year-old Lonnie Durfree of Dalton, was charged with burning personal property. The Berkshire District Attorney's Office spokesperson Andrew McKeever said that it was requested to hold a dangerousness hearing for Durfree. The judge scheduled that hearing for Friday, October 16th. This is a sad reflection of the vast polarization in our country and the Berkshires. We believe that Mr. Durfree destroyed personal property because he disagreed with the property owner's political views. Our community will not accept those types of actions under any circumstances.
So get a load of this. The guy is arrested for burning those hay bales.
Mm-hmm.
His next court appearance, you said, is October 16th.
Yeah.
They're holding him rather than letting him out on bail.
Yeah, well, that's usually how they do
it. Oh, I see what you just did there.
Oh, bail.
Yes, Steve, sorry to wake you up.
Is a play on words. By the way, did you...
It's not even the same bail. It's spelled different. Go figure that one.
Did you realize that The Flying Nun lasted 3 seasons and 82 episodes of that show?
What, do you got Tourette's, or are you just 5 minutes behind us?
Clam chowder! I'm just saying that I have the Wikipedia page for The Flying Nun, and as I'm scrolling down, I'm like, 82 episodes? They gave that show 82 episodes? Unbelievable.
Until something better came along. But the guy torches bales of hay and can't get out on bail.
Because he got rid of all the bail. When you burn all the bale, there's no bale left.
Well, it's spelled different, though.
Is it?
One is B-A-L-E, one is B-A-I-L.
It's Dalton. I'm pretty sure they don't even know how to spell bale.
It's only a four-letter word.
Some of them are still spelling it B-A-L.
Yeah, that's wrong. The B-A-L. That's ball.
They know a thing or two about that, too.
Yesterday morning, somebody in West Midlands, England, crashed a $470,000 Rolls-Royce into the back of a $200,000 Lamborghini. No one was hurt, but from the photo of the crash, you can tell both cars were seriously damaged. And then the Rolls-Royce driver ran away. If you're wondering why somebody would ditch a car like that, I guess the best theory would be that the person was renting it from an exotic rental agency.
Yeah, he wasn't a Rolls man.
No, but apparently they left a photo of themselves behind in the car, so the police should be able to track them down.
Well, if you're riding one, even if it's a joyride, you got to take selfies.
You know, I see these cars driving around. You know, there's this place next door that works on a lot of the import sports cars.
Sure.
It's like, I don't even know how you go and buy one of those. I mean, you'd have to clearly have the money to buy a $300,000 sports car.
Sure.
But I would never want to drive it.
Especially not in New England.
$300,000. That's more than my house.
I was going to say, imagine the kind of house you could have for the cost of that car.
Yeah.
And then imagine what it costs to insure it.
Mm-hmm. I told you I had a friend from college whose dad owned a Rolls Royce. And this kid had a DeLorean on campus. Why? I don't really know.
Where did he park it?
In the student lot.
Yeah, but how do you got to park it where there's no cars around you.
There were always cars around. You couldn't get into it unless there was, you're right, you couldn't get into it because the doors flew up.
That was one of the design flaws. That's why it didn't work so well.
So one weekend, we're at his parents' house, and he decides, let's take the Rolls out for a spin.
Mm-hmm.
So we're driving.
The Ferris Bueller thing where it's inside the house?
No, it was in a garage, but you could. It was such a nice garage, you could live in there quite comfortably. And we took it like to a construction zone. The flag guys are going bananas over the car. And I've never felt more self-conscious and insecure as a passenger in a car than I did sitting in that guy's Rolls Royce. It's like,
because you knew you didn't belong there.
I absolutely didn't belong in a
car
like that.
Neither did he. Or at school. With a DeLorean.
He was a little bit showy.
I hope this kid was very heavily bullied.
I don't, probably, but he lived in an area where, you know, he was like an also-ran. Like everybody in that particular neighborhood in the, Chicago suburbs had.
Oh, my God. That is
Rolls
Ferris
Royce.
Bueller.
It was totally Ferris Bueller. I'm trying to remember if it was the same town there or the same town that Risky Business was in. No, Risky Business is in Glencoe. This is in Lake Forest. It's still a remarkably. It makes Longmeadow look like Brockton.
You were what's his name? What was Ferris's friend's name?
I was Cameron.
Cameron.
Yeah, you were Cameron.
I don't know. Well,
wait, no.
No,
he Cameron
was Cameron.
Was the girl.
No, that was Sloan.
Oh, that's right. That's mm-hmm. right. Yeah.
Whatever happened
she
to her?
Was hot. I don't know. I bet she's not as hot as she was, though.
Probably.
I'm sure she's probably still good looking.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, now I'm going to have to look.
It was Mia Sara, wasn't it?
I don't know what her name was.
Yeah, she's, you know.
Mia Sara Pacciolo.
Yeah, Mia Sara. She's 53 now.
53?
Yeah.
Is that her waist size?
No, she's still slender, but, you know, she's. Not as pretty as she was in high school, but who was?
She
probably was pretty for that movie.
I'd still go for it.
Well, of course you would, but I'm just saying.
I wouldn't want Matthew Broderick in the room, though.
No.
Jeez.
No. But he hasn't aged all that well, frankly.
Well, what about what's his name?
Alan Cameron. Rusk?
Yeah.
He's had a very successful career.
Yeah, he has. He's been all over the place.
He's in Succession now.
Right, but he was in Spin City, I believe, for a while.
Yep,
and then he was in some other drama. What before Succession came along, and he was in some other drama, and I can't remember. Was he on Law and Order for a while?
Everybody was on Law and Order.
Your Pioneer Valley forecast today going to be partly cloudy with a high of 69. Giggity. Tomorrow sunny with a high of 74. It's 42 and foggy right now in downtown Springfield. I'm Steve Nagel, and that's the news on Rock 102.
Is Clark's of Bax and O'Brien at Rock 102. G. Michael Dobbs with a reminder coming up after 8:00. Just looking on YouTube, that the new Bishop has all of these videos on YouTube. He's a YouTuber.
Yeah, that's what they were saying on 22 News. He's popular for his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of 22, Nick Cannon was just showing us his...
Bannon?
Huh?
It's Bannon.
He was just showing us his ways, as a matter of fact. There's a minor accident on 91 North. It would be just north of the South End Bridge. So the traffic is backed up through the Longmeadow Curve, backed up to the entrance onto 91 North, from both the South End Bridge and Route 5. So, and it's only a minor accident, so it sounds like it'll be cleared up pretty quickly. But, yeah, he's a YouTuber. He's a YouTube bishop.
Now, he's got, he's not, breaking the banks of the downloads necessarily, but he's got one here. It's got 3.5. Yeah, I mean, we 3,600 views there. He's got 1,000 here. Yeah, he's doing all right. 38,000 views. How to go to confession with Father Bill Byrne. This is back when he was just a father. This is pre-bishop.
So he's AAA.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's viral. He's a viral bishop. Could use somebody like that.
Yeah. There's
last couple
viral
of
bishops out there to worry about already.
Last couple of bishops have made a lot of people sick.
Yeah.
It's 6:58 on Rock 102.